Hello and welcome to the commentary for lesson 331. This is 2 Kings chapter 1 and then a little bit from chapter 3 verses 1 through 3. So Elijah is confronting King Ahaziah. And just to recap, you remember King David had Solomon was his son. Solomon built the temple. Then the kingdom split into two. You have the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern king of Judah. The southern king of Judah is ruled by Jehoshaphat, who is, for the most part, a man of God. And the northern kingdom was ruled by Ahab. But in the beginning of our reading, we see that after Ahab's death, now his son Ahaziah is ruling. And so Ahaziah falls through the latticework of an upper room at his palace in Samaria and was seriously injured. He sends messengers to the temple of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron. Now, this is a different god than was typical for the Canaanites. Okay, let me just read this from my study Bible. It says this was not the same god as Baal, the Canaanite god worshipped by Ahab and Jezebel. Baal Zebub was another popular god whose temple was located in the city of Ekron. Because this god was thought to have the power of prophecy, King Ahaziah sent messengers to learn of his fate. Obviously, the king's action showed disrespect for the one true God of Israel. So, an angel of the Lord tells Elijah, "Go and confront the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, 'Is there no God in Israel? Why are you going to Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether the king will recover? Now, therefore, this is what the Lord says. You will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will surely die.' So Elijah went to deliver the message." I love how it says simply, "So Elijah went." See, the Lord tells Elijah something, and he does what he's told. We know he's a prophet, but here this tells us that he's not just a prophet. He's very obedient to God. So apparently, Elijah intercepted the messengers as they were going to Baal Zebub, it seems. And so they returned sooner than it would have otherwise taken. And so the king says, "Why are you back so soon?" And they tell him about the message they got from Elijah. Of course, Elijah is always the bearer of bad news. That is not what King Ahaziah wants to hear. And so he says, "What did the man look like?" And they explained, "He was a hairy man. He wore a leather belt around his waist." And the king knew that must be Elijah. And so he sent an army captain with 50 soldiers to go arrest him. And so the army captain goes, and you know, it didn't turn out so good. They found him sitting on top of the hill, and the captain says, "Man of God, the king has commanded you to come down with us." Well, he says, "Man of God," and that sounds respectful, but they were not being genuine, and God was not in their hearts. So Elijah replies, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men." Then, of course, because he is a man of God, fire fell from heaven and killed them all. So I wonder if Elijah's reaction was because of the lighthearted way they called him the man of God. The fact that it took three captains to come and give him proper respect, but it seems that obviously it was God's design for the events to happen in this order and in this way, but you think that this happened because of their disrespect for the man of God, one could assume. So the king sent another captain with 50 men. The captain said to him, "Man of God, the king demands that you come down at once." Again, this captain is not genuine. He is not giving respect to Elijah. He may be saying the right words, but it's not in his heart. And so again, Elijah replies, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men." And of course, God makes that happen. Then the king sent the third captain with 50 men. I kind of wonder, I would love to be a fly on the wall in the king's court when he heard the news about the first captain dying with the 50 men, and when he decided to send the second set of men, and then when he sends the third. You'd think he would sense a pattern here and maybe give different orders, but he kept doing the same thing again and again and again. And of course, the third time, which is fitting, the king sent a third captain. But this time, the captain went up the hill and fell to his knees before Elijah. He pleaded with him, "O man of God, please spare my life and the lives of these, your 50 servants." And he's begging for Elijah to spare his life. So he is showing great respect for Elijah. He knows, granted, he knows because he knows that he's the third one and that everyone else that had come to that point had died. So, yeah, it seems like an obvious thing that he would show respect and beg for his life. But because he humbled himself before Elijah and acknowledged the power of God and acknowledged that he had the power of God to destroy him and his army, God says, okay, we can work with this. The angel of the Lord, verse 15, says to Elijah, "Go down with him and don't be afraid of him." So, again, with the obedience of Elijah. So Elijah got up and went with him to the king. God tells him something, Elijah does it. So Elijah goes and delivers his message. He says to the king, "This is what the Lord says." He repeats it. "Why did you send messengers to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask you whether or not you will recover? Is there no God in Israel to answer your question? Therefore, because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will surely die." And so Ahaziah died, just as the Lord promised. He had no sons, so his brother Joram became the next king. So Ahab's son Joram began to rule over Israel in the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign in Judah. So King Jehoshaphat was the king of the south in Judah, and this was towards the end of his reign when Joram began his reign in northern Israel, in the northern kingdom. So that's where we're at. I think the takeaways are the way that the captains came with their 50 men and approached Elijah. They all died, most likely, it seems, because of their disrespect and the way that they haphazardly said, "man of God." Whereas the third one, the third captain, humbled himself before Elijah, meant it with every fiber of his being. God knows the heart of man, and he had seen the power of God come down on those who came before him. So he obviously came with respect and had the common sense to plead for his life. And then, of course, the angel of God responded to that by saying, "Go ahead, Elijah," and Elijah went. Another takeaway is definitely Elijah's obedience. We can learn a lot from Elijah. Obedience and faith, that's what God needs to work with us. And he definitely works with Elijah. So that's really it for today. I hope you all have a great day, and I will talk to you soon.